Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips to the PC. It is Saturday, the 13th day of September, Anno Domini 2025. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I am Pumpkin Spice Chris Horn.
Don't even start with me. And at 5 minutes after, because my wife does a coffee stand at the public market, pumpkin spice season.
Yo.
Has already begun.
Oh, by the way.
At 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites.
And belated happy birthday to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And how young are you now?
Happy birthday. I'm 75 years young. Thank you very much. Exactly right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would never.
He's 70. He's going to be 77 next Friday. This Friday.
No, next Saturday.
Saturday. Steve is Friday. You're
Friday.
Saturday.
I'm Saturday. Yep.
That's right. That's right.
Do you guys work with a team of stylists or something? How do you look so good?
It's massive amounts of sex. possibly frightening amounts.
That's just not a bald head. That's
This is a solar panel for a sex machine.
I see. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
That's why mine's solar go.
Yeah. All right.
I'm way behind him.
Here we go. I want to apologize to everybody for the last 2 minutes of this show.
No!
Apple held their awe-dropping event this week, showing off their latest hardware and software. And there's a lot to talk about, not the least of which is that name. It strikes me as a bit of a reach. They've got, apparently all the good names were already taken. The big news, of course, was the new line of iPhones, the 17, the 17 Pro, and the Air. The 17 and 17 Pro have 6.3-inch 120Hz displays with ProMotion and thinner borders with greater durability and scratch resistance. The 17 Pro Max has a 6.9-inch screen. They're powered by the new A19 chip, which is faster and more efficient, has an improved neural engine, a 6-core CPU, and a 5-core GPU. You also get an additional 8 hours of battery life on the 17 and 17 Pro, with the Pro Max boasting up to 39 hours of video playback in case you're stuck in a life raft for a day and a half. And now it comes in orange, which will also come in handy on the life raft. For those of you who disdain thick phones with a longer battery life, Apple also introduced the iPhone Air. It is, as they breathlessly enthused, the thinnest iPhone yet. It is only 5.6 millimeters thick, which is less than a quarter of an inch, for those of you who only speak freedom units. It has a slightly bigger screen, though, at 6.5 inches. As far as battery goes, Apple uses the phrase, and I quote, all-day battery life, end quote, which sounds a little bit weaselly to me, which is bolstered by the fact that Apple was very careful to say that there is a MagSafe battery pack you get attached to it, which pretty much negates the thinness, don't you think? After a drought of 3 years, Apple is now has a new version of the AirPods Pro. Apple's latest premium earbuds, the AirPods Pro 3, much the same as the Pro 2. They look the same now. They have heart rate monitoring, thanks to built-in biometric sensors, improved audio and spatial listening, better active noise cancellation, and foam-infused ear tips. Live translation is another feature, which is unsurprisingly powered by Apple Intelligence. As far as battery life goes, they should get at least 8 hours on a single charge, so don't take them on the life raft. The Apple Watch Series 11 is, you guessed it, their thinnest and most durable yet. It's twice as scratch-resistant as previous watches, too. I'm beginning to think older Apple devices weren't all that durable or scratch-resistant if they have to keep touting it now. Anyway, the new watch supports 5G for the first time. It can also monitor you for high blood pressure, which as Apple's base ages is a good thing. Series 11 watches will now get up to 24 hours of battery life on a single charge. The Ultra 3 watch has a bigger, better display, satellite connectivity, and emergency SOS. The SE watch will monitor you for sleep apnea. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is which new Apple device will you get? And your choices are, I must have them all. Maybe an iPhone 17. The iPhone Air, so thin. The watch, I want that blood pressure monitor. I could use new earbuds, and none of it, thanks. So far, we have 31 votes, 30 of which are none of it, thanks.
Yeah.
One person may be an iPhone 17.
Yeah. But you said a key word in describing the phone. As far as the phone part, that you, on a full charge, you might get 8 hours.
Yes.
So much for the thinness and, you know, kind of going against what I've been saying for over a decade now. Go a little bit thicker and give me more battery life because you're having me do all these things, watch movies and stream this and do this. And, you know, that all takes power.
Well,
hello?
That's only the Air. Well, and first, let me remind you, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. That is only the Air that has the shorter battery life because it's the thinnest one. And you can get the MagSafe to negate the thinness, but have enough battery life to last a full day.
Right.
Okay. Right. Like, I mean, there's definitely
spend more money
generation of people. I'm not going to say kids because they're not kids anymore.
Right.
That their primary device is their phone.
Yes.
And maybe if they went to college, they've got a laptop, and maybe they don't, right? Maybe they have a phone, and that's it. And for a lot of the world, that is their lens to the internet.
Even back when I was teaching, many of the kids just came to class with their phones.
Yeah.
And then fell asleep. But the point is they only had their phones. Maybe this said more of me as a teacher.
Yeah, right.
And the other thing is, now 35 votes, again, only one of which is maybe an iPhone 17, 34 of which are none of it, thanks. What that actually, I think, speaks to is something we talked about last week, which is, I think it was the Gartner Group. Anyway, one of the companies, the think tank companies out there, said that it is less likely, people have said, it is less likely they will buy new phones this year.
Yeah.
Mainly because of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the phones aren't, you know, Apple makes the greatest products on the face of the planet. I'm legally obligated to say that. Chris has a gun under the desk. But
send help.
Blink twice.
Yeah, yeah.
The reality is that, particularly in this economy, people are a little reluctant to spend that kind of money to get a minor increment in capability.
Right.
And it really is minor. And it's not that Apple isn't innovative and wonderful and yada, yada, yada. The problem is the old one was so good, there isn't much they can do to it.
That feature, it's no different than the operating systems.
Right.
Whether it be Mac or PC, they sit there and shift stuff around. It still does the same stuff. They've just relocated it so they can say, oh, new and approved.
Taskbar's in the middle now.
Yeah, big deal.
I hope you wanted the weather in your taskbar.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything more or faster or anything else. It's the same processor. Yeah, maybe it's a faster processor, but that's not due to the operating system. That's due to the chips.
Well, I'm 75 now.
Needs Viagra.
So I think there are a whole lot of consumer features in phones and in operating systems that are just not selling hardware.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's just not a lot of development. There's not a lot of new exciting things.
Right. That's
and to give me a phone that is 4% faster.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for me.
I want more battery life.
I want more battery life. I want something that's going to last days. I want the right kind of intelligence. I want a smartphone that says, hey, did you take your pills today?
Yeah.
Like to put the smart in the smartphone?
To put smart in a smartphone.
Da-da.
You know, I do like the fact that it came up today and said your birthday was coming up.
Yeah.
So that's nice. I mean, I don't care. I'm not going to get him anything. I don't like him that well.
Me neither.
But it's, you know, if he'd been somebody I cared about,
right.
I would have liked to know that. So I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need the latest and greatest iPhone 17 to get that feature.
Yeah.
So in terms of my daily life, and maybe I'm not typical. I know I'm not normal, but I may also not be typical. I don't know that there's anything compelling about the new devices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's the ego boo. I get that, right? I have the greatest and newest phone, so I get the ego boost out of that.
Right.
Right? I get that. I do get that. And the iPhone Air will sell a lot because everybody wants to be able to say, I've got the thinnest thing ever made. I get that.
Yeah.
And that's been a problem for years with Apple. If the new model doesn't look different enough from the old model, then it doesn't. People don't know you've got it. And that's actually a consideration for people.
It is. They're not standing in lines, you know, hours ahead of the store opening, demanding, you know, to be the first on the block with their newest, latest and greatest iPhone.
Yep.
It's just not there anymore.
They will sell a lot of the orange one because that's the only color that isn't available in other things, right? You can't get an iPhone 16 in orange.
Which, I mean, the color of the phone to me is always ironic because who has a phone without a case
exactly
on it?
Right.
The color
exactly
is invisible.
Correct.
Like, what is the point?
Exactly correct.
Get the colored case.
Exactly correct.
And, you know, guard against the breakage because, you know, even the scratch resistance and everything else, you know, a lot of folks, their phone winds up at least once or twice doing a face plant.
I would like to thank...
If you're in my house with my young people in the house, it's a few times a day.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry!
I would like to publicly thank one of my cats, Thor. We didn't name them. Thor was kind enough to break the fall of my phone the other day.
considerate.
Very sweet of him.
Yeah, heroic.
Very heroic. He's an heroic guy.
He probably scared the hell out of him.
I didn't see him for an hour. He's this big, burly, tough-looking cat who is scared of everything.
Skittish? Very skittish?
Very skittish. He was gone. We didn't see him for hours. This thing came out of the blue and attacked him. I get it. You know, everybody's got to come out with something new. It's the Windows 11 problem. Right? I mean, it doesn't matter whether we're talking hardware, software, what it is.
Right.
Why am I upgrading to Windows 11? Because I can't run it on my current computer. That's why.
Oh, you led me into, have you seen, they call it the Pyroman, that's P-I-R-O-M-A-N, 5 Max?
No.
It is built on a Raspberry Pi, and you can go to this website, and you can build it in this case. You can put in dual SSD hard drives, accelerator boards, and it's got dual fans, these humongous heat sink on it, and they're under $300 bucks.
Wowie.
They run off of the SD micro SD cards. Matter of fact, it comes with the standard model, comes with a 32 gigabyte in it. Yeah, it's called a Pyroman.
I love that stuff.
And it's a nice size cube on a Raspberry Pi 5. And the case is designed to be nice, a little cube, not much bigger than, well, half the size of this Kleenex box. Or I'd probably say a third of it.
Yeah.
And the power that you can put in it, because it is a Raspberry Pi, they showed demonstrations of doing movies and all that with it. Ooh,
Well, it's a 5,
but I
gotta say, Dave,
I might have to.
I like that stuff. I like every kind of hardware like that a lot. I certainly, that's the kind of thing I buy. However, getting refurbished, used little micro form factor Dell or HP or something is is cheap. It's easier to upgrade. And if you're going to use it as like a little server platform or something,
oh, my Raspberry Pi 4s right now are running terabyte hard drives for backup, and it's cool because they're scattered around my basement, and I got all these servers for backup and others for file storage.
Yeah,
and it's on a Raspberry Pi 4, hardly uses any power.
Right, right. But I think the micro form factors are also pretty low.
I love it.
Wattage.
Love it.
And cheaper, right? Like you sort of get like I think it's a little more performant, certainly cheaper.
But I've been looking for an excuse though for a Raspberry Pi 5.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking, ooh, I could go ahead and get this, and then put XCFS on it, and slowly wean my wife over to it, so that she's running off of Linux instead of Windows. Because of what she does, you know, it's mainly like most of the folks out there are running on to go out there and surf the internet, check their emails, and maybe do a little exploring here and there. That's about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this cube for under $300 could be one hell of a powerful machine that, she wouldn't even use half the power in it.
If you try on Linux the Cinnamon desktop.
Oh, I've played with Cinnamon.
You almost don't recognize that it's not
Windows.
Yeah. Cinnamon is real good. there are a couple of others out there that are also very Windows-like. I just put a link to the Iron Man. I think it's pronounced, it's Iron Man with a P in the
front.
So it's Iron Man. Yeah, so
doesn't it look cool?
It really does look very cool.
For a Raspberry Pi 5 to have that small form factor
and yet have that much power
and be able to hook up to the internet. It's wireless if you want it. It's got two HDMI ports on it. I believe it's got three or four USB ports on it. I know at least two of the USB 3 ports on it.
Right.
And
a lot of people don't know that. With the Raspberry Pi, normally they have used a micro SD card as the boot volume, everything, and it's pretty slow. But with the 3, the 4, and the 5 especially, you can run off of an external
SSD. That's what mine all do. Yeah, you just go into the Raspberry Pi formatter, and it'll burn a little SD card that will go in and change the prompts in the Raspberry Pi. Whatever Pi you have, to not look at the SD card, but to automatically first go to an external hard drive. All mine do. I love it.
The 5 is even better because that has the daughter boards that let you just run off of an NVMe, and then you're screaming for a Pi that's almost unmanageable.
Right.
Unimaginable.
And I have a terabyte NVME that's just... I see. Kind of sitting around
bragging about the hard drives we get kicking around. How it is.
Well, I have a as you know, my not so secret vice is
buying laptops,
refurbished laptops off of Woot, and I got one that
you can quit anytime.
I could. In fact, I've quit so many times. I'm an expert at it.
I see.
But they keep coming in.
Yeah, they keep coming in. But
damn
what
cat.
Happened? What? Yeah, right.
The buy now button is hard.
That cat keeps going over the keyboard. Boom! As he's sitting there thinking of it, and Thor just, hell with this.
Exactly right.
I see. We're blaming the cat now.
Blaming the cat.
Yeah.
But what I did, I had this, and it worked really well, and then it died, and I thought it was the NVMe.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled it out, and I tested it in another machine. It's perfect. The problem is the connector. So I can fix, I can replace an NVMe. I can do that.
Yeah, yeah. But that kind of soldering.
And again, so I'm doing that. That's lost. But
you need the liquid solder
for that. The NVMe. I did get the NVMe out, so I'm good there.
I've watched a non-trivial number of YouTube people do the desoldering, resoldering, especially 8-bit stuff that, is very pacifying
to
me.
My brother makes me sick. Because he is so good. He works, I forget the name of the company, but it's over by Market. And they do circuitry work and all that for switchers and all this other stuff. And my brother, back in the day, Remember when we used to have the memory chips that you were, you know, the long, but they had all the little pins on it?
Oh, yes.
And he could sit there and solder and unsolder one like nobody's business.
Really?
Yeah. He is not so good at it.
Yeah.
Oh.
So my, I thought the master move on that kind of thing was to have a reflow.
You can.
Board,
but no.
Right, where you basically have like a toaster oven.
Yeah.
And it cooks. It you know, you line it up, and then it perfectly settles itself into the right spot.
In our shop, we didn't have that. Yeah, he had this copper braided stuff that he'd just lay there, and boom, boom, boom. Hit each one of them, and it soaked up the solder, and he'd pull it out, and then he'd sit there and put the new one in.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like I say, he is good at that. Yep. Taught me a lot.
Those NVMEs, those connectors are like less than a millimeter.
Yeah, they're tiny.
Tiny.
You need a microscope with those. I mean, I've seen a number of YouTube videos where they're doing some of this chip replacement that's literally surface mounted.
Yeah.
And they're doing what they call the liquid solder. And they put the paste in there, and then they're actually using a heat gun to literally solder it. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That took some steady hands, and these hands at 77...
Yeah. Well, I've got the arthritis that I've got. Yeah. I used to make patch cables. I used to do all that stuff.
Right.
I
do it in my dreams now.
We're having an issue here.
I want to fix your microphone, but in my heart of hearts, watching it poke you in the face is pretty funny.
Try that now.
Oh, better. Which one did you use?
Yeah, just the Johnson rod.
It wasn't tight enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's why he's the hardware guy.
Yep. But right. I've watched videos where they reflowed using the liquid solder to upgrade the SSDs that were soldered to Apple yada yada motherboards. And, you know, it worked when it was all done. And I thought, how many of those did you need to ruin before you got one that didn't? Because I would just ruin my hardware for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It would be like, oh, honey, watch me do this. Oh, it's ruined.
That's the problem I have with Macs. I have a lot of Macs that I used to do stuff for Doctors Without Borders, and I'd give them machines to take away. I have a lot of Macs that the thermal paste has gone bad.
Yes.
The older ones, you can take apart, thermal paste, not a problem. The new ones, they're glued.
Oh, really?
Within an inch of their lives, by the time you pry everything out, you can't glue it back together again.
Yeah.
You can take it apart.
Right.
That's not the hard part.
You can get the cover off, but you can't. Oh, that's unfortunate.
And it's so much e-waste.
Yeah.
And it makes me crazy.
Well, it goes back to the... hey, there's not a lot of compelling new features. It's almost like the standard automobile problem. How much difference is there, like, from a casual consumer of these things? There isn't that much. So they have to be consumable in some way. Otherwise, they just don't sell new ones.
Yep. Well, and then I was just watching my favorite year, my birthday treat to myself, my favorite movie. And it starts out with,
Big Trouble in Little China?
No, My Favorite Year. That's the name of the film.
That can't be real. That's a real movie?
That's a real movie. It's the movie Peter O'Toole got robbed of an Academy Award from that upstart Ben Kingsley with Gandhi.
Oh, all right.
Okay, anyway, the year is 1954, and one guy says, that was the year you could tell a Buick from a Pontiac, from an Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
They didn't look the same.
Yeah,
And now all of those were made by GM. But that's not the point. The point is they looked different. Now every company's things look identical.
All look like bubble machines.
So wait, are there like kaiju or something in that movie that would make it good? No Godzilla? Nah, lasers?
No.
I can't watch that movie.
Hysterical film. It's the film I quote more often than any other. It's a great film. My Favorite Year. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Chris Horn, me, Nick Francesco, and my favorite people, you. but only if you give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free at 800-790-0415. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I am the part kaiju, Chris Horn.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, the lesser part.
Yes.
Not a big kaiju. Yeah, right. A little, like at the beginning of Superman, the little kaiju.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I got that. I got it. Okay. Do we have somebody actually on the line? No? All right, we're having some phone issues. Please bear with us. Yeah. Dave is doing all the proper things. He's looking at the phone funny and shrugging his shoulders, and that does not seem to be helping.
Phone systems suck.
Phone systems do.
Yeah, they are not my favorite things.
Nope, not yet.
We're trying.
All right, well, you know what? While we've reset the system, I don't know. Anyway, I'll read some more news. We've had this month's Microsoft Patch Tuesday, and it was chock full again. The cumulative update for Windows 10 22H2 and Windows 10 21H2 with 14 fixes or changes, including fixes for unexpected prompts and severe lag and stuttering issues with network device interface streaming software. The Windows 10 update is mandatory, as it also contains Microsoft's full September 2025 Patch Tuesday security updates for Windows 11 as well, which fix two publicly disclosed zero-day vulnerabilities and 81 flaws, 13 of which are listed as critical. Since this update is mandatory, it will automatically start installing in Windows once you check for updates. So make sure you've got a lot of time. I mean, a lot of time.
Do it overnight.
Yeah, to make this more manageable, you can schedule a time when your computer is restarted to finish the installation, but don't wait too long because of those 0 days. Right now would be a good time if you haven't done it already. This is your second last Windows 10 update, by the way, so enjoy it. Oh, and this update also fixed a known issue caused by the August 2025 security updates, which caused app installation problems for non-admin users on all Windows versions. So if you've had trouble installing anything, you absolutely want this fixed. Microsoft says it has mitigated an Exchange Online outage affecting customers worldwide, which blocked their access to emails and calendars, which is the whole point of online. Earlier this week, they resolved another issue that caused an anti-spam service to quarantine some emails and mistakenly block Exchange Online and Teams users from opening URLs. They also rolled out a fix to address an Exchange Online issue that triggers email access problems for Outlook mobile users on both Android and iOS. They left out nobody this last month. Microsoft has released security advisories for four newly discovered vulnerabilities in its Windows Defender firewall service that could enable attackers to elevate privileges on affected Windows systems. Right now, it seems that you'd need local access to the computer to take advantage of it, but please install the September patch immediately, particularly in a corporate environment or where more than one person has access to your computer. All four of them are listed as important. Microsoft Teams will automatically alert users when they send or receive a private message containing links that are tagged as malicious. Microsoft will introduce these new warnings for messages containing URLs that have been flagged as spam, phishing, or malware for all Microsoft Defender for Office 365 and Microsoft Teams Enterprise customers. The new link protection feature will begin rolling out with a public preview for desktop, Android, web, and iOS users in September. That's this month, and is expected to reach general availability in November, according to a recent Microsoft 365 roadmap entry. As always, if you're not an enterprise customer, you're on your own. We've talked about last month's update causing SSD failures. It seems, according to Phison Electronics, the problem stems from one manufacturer using a preview version of the SSD's firmware. It affects certain Corsair, Silicon Power, and A-Pacer drives. No responses from any of those companies yet. So are you patched? Do that first. Then give us a call. we may not be able to answer, but you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, or toll free at 800-790-0415. Let's head to the phones while
like
they're
said,
still working.
I fixed it.
You fixed it. Don't mess with the sound guy. We're talking to Steve from Greece, New York. What's up, Steve?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
It is that. How are you?
I am well, and the weather, it's not snowing yet, so that's a high point.
Do not use the S word in front of me.
First of all, you're absolutely right, Nick. My Favorite Years is one of the best movies ever made.
Thank you very much.
It's not better than Airplane, but it's damn good.
Oh, Airplane. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
That's only because you haven't seen My Favorite Year.
I probably have.
What a great
movie. I've seen a lot of Peter O'Toole stuff. He's really
movie.
Good.
Great yeah. movie. Sorry, go ahead.
So I was looking through my... Well, looking through. It's online. But I was looking at PC Magazine, and they mentioned Tiny 11.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering if you could talk a little about it and then recommendations on people using it or not using it.
Yeah, okay. So Tiny 11 is a non-authorized
yeah.
version of Windows 11 that gets rid of most of the cruft and lets it run on lower-end processors, many machines that will not run 10, that will not run 11 normally. They will run 10, but they won't run 11. So what Tiny 11 does is it lets you basically uninstall a lot of the cruft. Now, there are a couple of issues with it. It is not for the faint of heart. If you're...
You have to be a dedicated hobbyist to put that on yourself.
And not a little crazy.
Yeah.
To actually use it. The other thing is, they seem to gloss over the fact that you have to install 11 before you can Tiny 11 it. And if
yeah.
that's the case, and you can't install 11 on a machine
you
because it won't run, then you've got a problem.
Yeah.
You know, some machines will not allow you to install 11. They just won't do it.
Yep. But the facts are, right as of right now, if you can run Windows 10 on a machine, you can install Windows 11 on it.
Well,
If you tell the installer, and it's a thing that Microsoft supports, if you tell the installer to ignore the requirements it has for that extra hardware.
Right.
And one of the ways I've done this a bunch of times is there's a tool called Rufus that you can use to download Windows 11 and make an install USB that... And then it'll give you some options to, you know, here you remove the requirement for an online Microsoft account, which for me is a big deal.
Yes.
Remove the hardware requirements. Remove, like, if you wanted to not have your hard drive encrypted for some reason, you could turn that off.
You don't want your hard drive. I'm sorry. Then we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right. Like most people, you really don't want your hard drive encrypted. You can do that. I've done that a bunch. And then rather than do Tiny 11, my personal go-to move right now is if you search for Chris Titus Tool.
Oh, yeah.
That is a masterful set of PowerShell scripts with a library of registry editing and detectors. And I use that on every Windows computer I touch right now. And
now
he is very skilled.
Yes.
The team of people that helps him test are very competent and dedicated to this. And what they do is they make it so that you can say, oh, you don't like the fact that your start menu is always suggesting stuff you don't care about.
Right.
You can turn that off. Now, an example.
Let me caution everybody out there that, again, not for the faint of heart.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
not for the hobbyist, not for the lower-end hobbyist,
yeah.
which many of you listening are, even if you don't want to admit it. If you're not comfortable spending hours swearing at your machine while you track down a tiny little thing...
Or if you muck it up and start it again.
Think of it this way, Nick. if it goes wrong, they're not going to remember I said it. They're going to remember. They're going to think you said
right.
it, and they're going to swear at you.
Right. I'm going to get a whole bunch of people calling next week. Try Tiny 11, and it doesn't work. Fix it.
Yeah.
No.
Nick Francesco's name is Mud in my book.
That's Mud with two D's.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Rocky Jones, Space Ranger. Anyway, the point here is no, that was Captain Midnight. I'm going to have to turn in my decoder badge.
Uh-oh.
That was Captain Midnight. That's Mud with two D's. Anyway, the thing is, Tiny 11 is a great tool, as are the Chris Titus tools.
Yeah, I think it's all based on the same,
set of
things.
But, again, not for the average user. It's really just not something you want to tackle on your own. Now, I'm sure you can find people who you can pay to do it and let them have the headache. God bless each and every one of them.
So yeah,
I wouldn't, if I were doing it, and I'm not doing it, by the way, don't call me, don't ask me, I'm not going to do it. But if I were doing it, I would be charging an exorbitant amount of money. Because if it goes wrong, it's going to go wrong real hard for a real long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, if it goes wrong, Nick, can't you just reinstall Windows 11?
You can.
You can, and then you're right back to square one.
But assuming you could install Windows 11 easily on that hardware to begin with, I think you can, but it depends on what you want to put on yourself.
Yeah, overcoming that hurdle. That's the thing you can always start again, but then there's that hurdle in front of you again that you've got to get over to get it to perform the way you want it to and that it will perform at all.
Let me make a suggestion to each and every person who's thinking of doing this.
Don't.
Sitebooks. A sitebook is something we system administrators create.
Yeah.
When we build a new system, we write down everything. And when I say everything, I mean, I don't care how anal you are not anal enough.
Mm-hmm.
You write down everything. And so you have a step-by-step process. And when it goes wrong, you back up a step. You go back to the beginning. You restart. You follow your
path. Oh, I held down the left shift key, not the right shift key when I rebooted. It turns out that's what...
That matters.
Yeah, that mattered for some reason.
Yeah. And so if you're going to do this, create a site book. Write down every single
minor step change, anything.
You take. And you've got a cell phone. Take pictures of the thing that you did on the screen. So good.
Take and make sure you have, if you have any data on your machine, then don't do it. But if you do, back it up multiple times before you start. It is... The whole idea behind Tiny 11 and the Chris Titus tools are brilliant, but so prone to going wrong.
Well, they're dangerous, and the thing that I appreciate about them the most is that the things that are dangerous are labeled dangerous.
And that's important,
mm-hmm.
but not enough.
Yeah,
because people will ignore it and go right. Oh, just like they get, like we've been saying for years, people get click happy. Oh, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
Is that why dangerous was in big red letters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe for me, I will often follow a pattern, right? My mental sight book and just kind of crank through, and that's worked pretty well for me sometimes. But it also, periodically, I jump into a tool like this, and I realize... It's a Swiss Army knife made of more Swiss Army knives.
Oh, yes.
And I got
well put.
I pause for a moment. I'm like, yeah, I might just pay attention to what this is saying.
I might be writing some stuff down now.
I might not just jump into this one.
Maybe this time I'll write stuff down. I used to teach my kids to do that, the students who work for me, my minions. When we built a new machine, I would have one of them on a word processing document.
Yeah.
And I would say, I did this, or I'm going to do this, write it down. And I would make sure they wrote it down, and then I would do it. That way, you get constant feedback if something goes wrong, or if you have to rebuild a machine. I mean, okay, so I worked in a data center, and sometimes hardware crashed. And you replace it, and you got to rebuild the server again. Well, I can spend 15 hours tearing my hair out again.
Yeah.
Or I can go through the checklist.
It was so much harder then. It was, I don't think most people appreciate.
Yeah.
Like the,
yeah.
Nobody wrote down the settings on the RAID controller. We're gonna be here a while.
Nothing enrages me more than that's not up here is not what's down there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
That enrages me.
Yeah.
At any rate, Steve, I hope we've scared you away from Tiny 11.
Well,
you know what, Steve? I'll suggest this: if you search for a Chris Titus tool, you can run it, and it won't change anything. You can run it and just look at what you might do with it.
Okay.
Because there's tweaks and configuration changes, and then one of them I want to say is called Micro 11 or something like that. I haven't done that. I don't recommend it. But I think running it and then seeing what it can tell you about your system is interesting all by itself. And it won't change anything.
So you run it from an external drive?
You actually run it. Here's the best part. You launch an administrator PowerShell prompt, and you run it from there. It is a command line thing, and then it pops open a new window, all in PowerShell. And if anything goes wrong, I'm going to claim to be Steve at this point.
But I'm Steve. You can't be.
Different Steve, yeah.
Different Steve. The host who's not here right now.
Steve Ray.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I keep my site book actually in the cloud so I can get it anywhere.
Perfect.
As long as you keep it, that's the important thing.
Yep.
That is the master of stroke right there. Right there.
It's the main clue.
And I just posted a link to Chris Titus Tech Tools. Whatever he calls it.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
the funny thing is that I had seen this and gone, okay, this guy might be the best Windows person I've seen post content. And then I look some more. Guess what? He's like, I'm not really a Windows guy. I use Linux on everything all the time.
That's where I knew him from.
Yeah, and it's funny.
And when he did this, I thought, oh, this is nonsense.
The better you know Windows, the more likely you are to run Linux.
Yes, so true. So true. At any rate, I posted that on the website. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. You have a pleasant day.
You too.
You too. I should probably put a link to Tiny 11 out there, too, somewhere.
Yeah. Holy cow. So this week I learned that in the parking lot of supermarkets and other big box stores, those flashing blue lights with the cameras.
Yeah.
I had thought they were security cameras. They're not. They're just scanning your license plate to see where you're going, because also it's not run by those companies. It's run by a third party that sells where you've been, not just to the big box or the supermarket, but
anybody.
To law enforcement. And there's no Fourth Amendment rights on any of that. It's just tracking where you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
One
thing I had to say, though, is on that stupid update Windows did.
You're going to have to clarify which stupid update.
Well, this was on 11. And I was in the middle. I'm doing this contest right now on ham radio. And it's called Route 66. And it's been going. Matter of fact, it goes until tomorrow. And you're trying to get 24 different stations. And you got to write all this information down.
Yeah.
Well, then they've got this form that you can go online and fill it out. You can't download it or save it. They've got it protected. They don't want anybody messing with it. But you can go on there, put in all your information, and then hit print. And it will print the form for you. Makes life very easy. Well, I had it. Maybe three or four entries left to do. Had to go out to do dinner. The wife and I come back.
Oh, no. I hate where this is going.
Yeah.
I turn the screen on. Website's still there. And the freaking form was blank. Windows had done an update.
Oh, no, no, no.
because I knew something was wrong the minute I turned the screen on, and I had to put in my PIN number again. And it goes right to that GD website, and there it is. Blank as all hell.
So that's a lesson for the people that made that website to learn, is that you shouldn't manage persistence in that way.
Right?
Like, it was a poorly made website.
Well, this is just a lot of numbers. You know, you're putting
it doesn't matter.
Frequencies, times, and all this other junk.
If it's a thing you don't want to make the user type in again,
well, and you have there to should treat be it a that way. Save button that lets you save but keeps you on the page.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's finally modernized this. Before, you could download this form and you had to hand put it in. So I give them credit that they did make it a little bit easier. That, like when I'm putting in, say, the time, and I put in 2204, it automatically puts the two dots in the middle automatically for me. So, I mean, that's convenient, but it's still not entering all that stuff, and then to come back to find it gone, was not too happy.
I cannot imagine.
Mm.
I don't.
Oh, one thing I got to also put out there as it's a nonprofit, but a good thing that's happening. As of next week, the 16th to the 25th, if folks don't know it, the Erie Canal celebration is going on right now because it's been around for 200 years. And it's a big thing that they're celebrating from Buffalo to Albany. They've got different events going on all up and down the canal, and it's a great place to, you know, to tour. You can ride your bikes on it, you can kayak, you can take tours and everything else. Well, ham radio operators are going to be activating it because it's also a park, and it goes all the way again from Albany to Buffalo, that you can sit there and explore, and there's so much to see. Matter of fact, Mike Oden had up some pictures of the old Erie Canal stations, the locks.
Yep.
That are still along, you know, you can go along the thruway and still see remnants of the Erie Canal. Because at one point, folks, and I know most folks won't realize it, but the canal used to go right through Rochester, right through the city there at one point. They diverted it, and there was a canal that went through this Main Street and that of Rochester.
Yep.
And, it's history that's out there. It's pretty cool to explore and just see. It's just so peaceful, too.
Yeah.
I know my brother, he lives out there in Brockport and goes on the canal all the time riding.
The one thing I really wanted to do at one point, my father-in-law was into it and we just never got it done, was to rent a canal barge for a weekend and just sail up and down the canal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you're going to get lost.
Yeah, no.
There's an old mock sea shanty. How does it go? Oh, the E-R-I-E was a-rising, and the gin was a-getting low. I scarcely think we'll get a drink till we get to Buffalo. And it goes on like that. It's a very funny song.
A lot of songs in history that, you know, you can look up about the Erie Canal because, you know, it was just a major way. A lot of folks still come up through the Hudson River and that and get into the canal and, like you say, take the whole trip all the way to Buffalo, then turn around and go all the way back and spend the whole summer just doing that on a boat.
Yep.
Dennis Worcester has advocated taking a vacation and getting on bikes and riding up and down the whole canal.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'll go the barge.
Yeah.
I won't go the bike.
I asked him if I had to use my own legs for such an activity.
If it's a tandem bike and I can just sit back and relax, then I'm there. Yeah.
Will there be tea?
Will there be tea? All right. That music tells us the first hour of this show is done. But do not despair. There's a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show coming your way. A whole nother hour of Dave Enright. I'm sorry, but a whole nother hour of Chris Horn. A whole nother hour of me, Nick Francesco, and a whole nother hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. We think we've got the phones working properly now, so the likelihood that you'll get on is way higher than it was in the first hour. So don't do that. Take a little bio break for yourself. Lord knows we will. But get yourself a beverage of your choice. But don't go too far, because there's a whole lot more sound bites coming your way right here on the Truly Great and Truly Grateful to You, because we are solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in a few.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm thinking about Bloody Mary.
But, sure.
At this moment, I'm Chris Horn.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're all thinking about sound bites.
Oh, right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Media streaming platform Plex is warning... I love Plex. Is warning customers to reset passwords after suffering a data breach in which a hacker was able to steal customer authentication data from one of its databases. Plex says the stolen data included email addresses, usernames, securely hashed passwords, and authentication data from a limited subset of customer data. Any account passwords that may have been accessed were securely hashed in accordance with best practices, meaning they cannot be read by a third party. Plex has not shared what hashing algorithm was used, raising the possibility that attackers could attempt to crack the passwords. Therefore, Plex recommends that users, out of an abundance of caution, reset their passwords at https://plex.tv/reset and also enable the sign out connected devices after password change option when doing so. This will reset your password and log out any existing connections utilizing your own credentials. However, this will also require you to log in again on any devices using those credentials. Of course, if you haven't done so, please enable two-factor authentication as well. Verizon lost an attempt to overturn a $46.9 million fine for selling customer location data without its users' consent. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit rejected Verizon's challenge this week. The Federal Communications Commission fined the three major carriers last year for violations revealed in 2018. The company sued the FCC in three different courts with varying results. AT&T beat the FCC in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, while T-Mobile lost in the District Court of Columbia Circuit. The rulings against the FCC could gut the agency's ability to issue financial penalties. The different rules from different circuits raise the odds of the cases being taken up by the Supreme Court, so this isn't over yet. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden has sent a letter to the Federal Trade Commission requesting the agency to investigate Microsoft for failing to provide adequate security in its products. You would think that's a no-brainer.
What a waste of time.
Which, what a funny.
which led to ransomware attacks against healthcare organizations. He said, which is not a laughing matter, he said that Microsoft should be held responsible for its gross cybersecurity negligence resulting in ransomware attacks against critical infrastructure, including U.S. healthcare organizations. He also highlighted Microsoft's prolonged failure to take decisive action to effectively mitigate well-documented security risks in its products, resulting in attacks such as the 2024 Ascension Health ransomware breach, which compromised data of 5.6 million patients. The FTC has not publicly responded to Wyden's request yet. The United States has emerged as the largest investor in commercial spyware. Let me repeat that. The United States has emerged as the largest investor in commercial spyware.
Yes.
A global industry that has enabled the covert relationship of surveillance of journalists, human rights defenders, politicians, diplomats, and others posing grave threats to human rights and national security. In 2024, 20 new U.S.-based spyware investors were identified, bringing the total number of American backers of this technology to 31. This growth has largely outpaced other major investing countries such as Israel, Italy, and the United Kingdom. We're number one. We're number one. And you're number one with us. So give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415.
A one that we don't want, really want.
Is this like 2025 is the America's cognitive rock bottom?
I hope something. So. Don't challenge them.
Right. Saying surely it can't get worse
is
the dumbest thing.
Do not say that.
Yeah.
Somebody out there is going, hold my beer.
Yeah. Right. We should move the show to Florida. We could be the Florida radio show.
Florida radio show.
When you hit the news.
The real issue here, of course, is the number of security issues that have come up. I mean, it started with this month's patches, Microsoft Patch Tuesday patches, and the fact that Windows Defender, which is their antivirus, anti-malware, firewall software, had numerous fairly egregious flaws. We've said this before, Windows Defender has shockingly emerged as one of the better antivirus programs. The problem, in the sense that it finds and kills a huge number of viruses, up in the 90s, sure. 90% of them. The problem is it only updates once a month, unless there's something truly egregious.
Yeah.
And you cannot do that.
It's got to be daily.
I run Clam AV, and it updates multiple times a day when it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't wait a month. I don't wait for updates. Now, I'm running Linux, and there aren't that many, blah, blah, blah. That's not the point. The point is I am protected. And I am protected up to the minute.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me counterpoint that a little bit. I bet for what I do on Windows, I could turn off my antivirus and be totally fine. I don't put that Windows computer directly on the internet.
Okay.
Sort of like me.
I mostly download stuff from stores, like Steam video games or Windows Store.
Well, but then you're on the internet, aren't you?
I'm downloading stuff from the internet, and I don't use Edge. I use Chrome or some other browser that has uBlock Origin.
Yep.
And what I download is specifically the thing that I'm asking for. I'm not downloading stuff that other people are suggesting. I don't get pop-ups on websites saying you should download this. I don't get emails with content that leads to downloads. All of those vectors of bad things getting on my computer, I don't generally do any of that.
Right. However,
and I don't go to download websites where there's a big pile of stuff to download.
Oh,
right? Like if I want yada yada program, I go to yadayadaprogram.com and I get it from.
However, that said, an overabundance of caution says you should run an antivirus program anyway.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I'm saying the accuracy
Right, is less essential.
Yeah, because they've moved on from viruses to spyware and malware. That's why we really enunciate that more so than, say, the viruses. You still got to have antivirus software because there's still
that stuff doesn't
stuff
die.
It's like we've said before, folks. Once you put something out on the internet, it's out there for the life of it.
Yep.
Getting it totally off is impossible.
Yep.
So, like, if you put a picture out there and, I didn't really mean to do it, forget it. It's been passed around to millions of people. And, you know, it might be innocent, but still and all, once it's out there, it's out there. Spyware and malware are the biggies right now because that's how these culprits out there make money. They sell your information. You know, all of a sudden you might be getting these ads for insurance or this or that only because you once looked at this or somebody else, a friend of yours, was infected with this spyware.
Right.
And you got an email from them and you clicked on it and, I'll check this out because Joe sent it to me.
Sometimes
it must be okay.
You don't have to check it out because it'll pop up a JavaScript that downloads something on its own.
Wham, bam, slam, you're done. And they're these people that sell these lists are making money off of that.
I think if you focus on trying to maintain your privacy, right? Not necessarily secrecy or being anonymous or anything. That's exhausting. I think just you're having a sense of how your information is going to be used. If you say, yes, Facebook, I'm going to give you access to my photos. Because the latest I've heard is that when you do that with Facebook today, you're giving Facebook permission to crawl through your photo library, scan it, and use it to enrich their own AI.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with you at all.
Yep.
It is entirely about making their product better, getting to you.
I have often said, you know, we joke about this, but the fact is we all have so much of our voices out on the internet, it would not be difficult, even slightly difficult, to train an AI on our voices to have it say anything we want it to.
So one of the movies that I will treat myself to, and when I'm feeling good about things, is Sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
Because that movie holds up better, especially with the advent of quantum computing.
Oh, yeah.
As a black box of, and now your password's hacked. And I mentioned that because my voice is my passport.
Yeah.
I just watched this one video where this guy is saying, watch out, because evidently he does custom tables. And his tables are $20,000 and more. I mean, these are beautiful
pieces. For all you computer geeks, he's talking about the kind you put a coffee cup on, not that's in spreadsheets.
Right. And these tables, I mean, he wound up, evidently he's got a call from a client and saying, well, where's my table? I sent you $10,000. This other company had used an AI generator, took him and even created this thing, him saying, yes, this is really me. See, I'm working in my workshop, so you know it's real.
No kidding.
So they went ahead and sent the check for $10,000. The guy says, no, I didn't get it.
That is a whole new class of scam,
and
right?
He wound
small volume, high price.
He wound up doing this other table. I mean, this thing is like 12 foot long, and it's, you know, special.
But he's out the money.
Do you put that in the bathroom? Like, where does that table go?
No. This is...
is it for poker?
I mean, the legs...
That would fit in our living room, actually.
Yeah, yours it would. It's about 12 foot long, and these custom legs and everything else, because it's like two pieces of wood, and then it's poured in between the epoxy.
Oh, like a river kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've seen those.
So you play like skee ball on it? It sounds nice.
Yeah.
Well, you string a little badminton net or a ping pong.
We're not barbarians.
We're not barbarians. You throw up the net. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Okay.
But, they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's
AI is, right now we talk about the, I can't use the wordification of social media. And it's called.
It's also called
AI slop.
Yes,
that's the politer term. AI slop.
AI slop for all of that terrible AI content, where you're listening and you're like, that's not even close to pronounce right.
Well, I'll tell you what. I often late at night for my sins, I will wander through YouTube looking at stuff.
Buying tables. Laptops.
Yeah. Laptops. God, yes.
Oh, gosh, if
I come across a video that's got a computer-generated voice, I move on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't be bothered.
And I feel bad because I know that there are people in other countries that don't speak English very well who've written a compelling script, and the content is otherwise great, mm-hmm. but my suspicion that it is just AI junk is so strong.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
I'm going to say don't recommend that channel to me again.
They've made it so that we're so suspicious now. Because you can't trust anything. You see things being advertised for this or that, and it's like, is that real, or are they just scamming me for my money? Because, like you say, they look so authentic. You know, oh, yes, we got this product, and it's been tested, and blah, 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 and all these sworn statements and everything else, and it's just somebody scamming you.
Well, when I bought my laptop, my desktop.
Which laptop is this?
No, my new desktop.
Okay.
At the beginning of the year, I was looking for a new desktop because, like I said, my old one is kind of old, and I knew the tariffs were coming. I wanted to get something before it hit. So I went and looked, and I found this great Lenovo ThinkCenter desktop for 48% off. And I thought, right.
Yeah, right.
So I went to Lenovo's website, and lo, it was real. So I bought it like within click fast enough.
Yeah,
but I didn't trust anybody except when I typed in Lenovo.com.
Yeah, you got to go directly there. Do not use links.
Yep.
That is where people get hosed so much when they click on these stupid links.
Yeah,
you know, and stuff, and then actually take the time and type and go in. You can do a search for any of these other major companies and find the actual link to their website.
Yep.
It just takes a little time. I know clicking is easier. Oh, well.
Well, and I have a couple of friends who are always sending me things. You know, oh, you should check this out. You should look at this. No. I'm sorry, but no. About half the time I can look at the link and say, hell no, that's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell from the URL. That's not a real website. That's not the place.
Yep.
But some of them, it's hard to tell. You know?
As a terrible person, I am making a note to myself to email Nick more links. I'm sorry.
I have a blacklist, and I can add you to it.
And you'll be on it.
Do not threaten me with a good time, mister.
Dave, I would like the link to the table creator. The manufacturer guy that was scammed on it, because I think there's probably a name for what that niche kind of scam is, and I think it would be good to figure out what that type of thing is.
What it is called,
yeah. And maybe there's a way we could spot it, because there has to be, like, it's not a whale, right? But whatever that scam is, it's got to have a name.
I have to see if I can find that
specialized
again.
Specialized technology.
Yeah, it just amazed me.
Specialized naming conventions.
Low volume. It, almost independent creator of something
it's not
special.
Fishing or smishing.
That it costs a fair amount of money, maybe a lot of money, and they're an easy target for scams. And if there was, you know, a two-step process for those people to protect themselves and consumers to protect themselves, I would love to be able to figure out what that is.
I was so angry. There was a thing that I found. And I went about it the wrong way. I researched it and thought, okay, this is real, and it's an actual thing, and it's an add-on for Chrome, and what it does is it pops up a warning if something is AI-generated.
Okay.
And it works for video and audio and text.
Okay.
And I thought, I want this.
Yeah.
So I went to get it, and it's a JavaScript.
I mean, it would have to be.
And
it would have to be.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but no, thank you.
Yeah.
I
Send me the link to it. I'll check it out. Because it could be legit.
No, but the point is I've blocked JavaScripts. Because so many bad things come through JavaScript.
Well, I mean, the internet doesn't work very well without JavaScript.
Well, and I accept that.
Yeah.
You know, to get rid of the nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of some of that stuff, we should probably talk about 1.1.1.1 at some point, too. But first, we'll go to Rick from Pittsford, New York. What's up, Rick?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a two-part question. It revolves around the Ring camera system. Number one, am I on their network or my network, and am I compromising anything? And then number two, I added a couple more cameras. I switched from the cable guys to the streaming people. My service went up from 100 to 500, but I'm getting a lot of dropouts. Are these cameras sucking up bandwidth? I'm just wondering. I'm just not expecting to have all these clocking and everything issues.
Yeah, okay, so the second question first. The more cameras you have, the more data streams, video streams you have, and the more bandwidth that's sucking up.
Potentially.
But if you've got 500 megabits, it shouldn't really be a problem. If you've got it set so that they're going off-site to the Ring cloud, yeah, then it is possible. One of the things that I've been seeing this last week is because my non-cable streaming service also was slow this week, and it looks like one of the major hubs, the one in Chicago, is borked up beyond recognition.
Interesting.
It's getting like 99% drop rate.
Yeah.
And so until that gets fixed, and that's out of the hands of every one of our local providers. That has nothing to do with them. That's way upstream. But until that gets fixed, anything on the other side of Chicago from us, if you understand what I'm trying to say, is going to be slower than it should be.
Right. Unless they're globally distributed.
Right. But if they have to go through the Chicago hub.
Yeah. That's interesting.
As of yesterday, I didn't check it this morning, but I was late for everything this morning. Yesterday, there was a 97% dropout. It would just drop packets. So if you can assume only 3% of packets are getting through, that's going to slow things down considerably. So there were a number of places I went to yesterday where I was fine, and a number of places I went to where it was just dog slow. So I did some investigating, and that's what I discovered. It's the Chicago hub. May not be you, and I don't have an answer if it isn't.
Let's assume that it's Rick. Let's just assume that, because I have a bunch of cameras at home. They're not Ring cameras, and I periodically have problems with them, and it drives me right up the wall. There's many swears that come out of my mouth.
Well, that's why they call it a cursor. are you saving these things to the cloud or to a local machine on your network?
Yeah, so I have a question even before that.
Okay.
So these are all Ring cameras?
Yeah, they're all Ring cameras, two doorbell and three regular cameras, five altogether.
Okay.
And I've got the subscription. I don't know where I'm saving stuff to.
Okay.
Well, if you don't know, you're saving to the cloud.
Yeah, right. I think if you have the subscription, you're almost certainly saving stuff to the cloud. Now, I know that these types of cameras, they have detection modes. And you could be asking the camera to say, if I detect somebody or I detect movement, then upload that event to the cloud. But you could also, that's option A. Option B is just stream everything to the cloud all the time and do the detection there. And then you tell me after the fact if there was an event. Do you know which setting?
This is something I set up in the camera?
I think so. Again, I'm not familiar with Ring cameras, but I've used a bunch of these different types of things. And that's the kind of thing that they ask you, especially if you're paying for the subscription.
Somewhere in the web, what you use a web browser to look at what's in your camera, right?
Yes.
That will have a settings function in it somewhere.
Yeah, so I want to say the Wyze cameras I've used, Reolink cameras I've used, and they have different levels of stuff that can happen inside the camera itself versus stuff that can happen once your video is in the cloud, right? And they'll support different levels of detection, and they'll, you know, tell you that there was a horn honking.
Right. Well, and the other
versus okay, a delivery truck.
Right. There's a different issue with that as well, which is that if you've got it set to do motion detection, but your camera's pointing at the street,
yeah,
it is likely right. that every car that goes by is going to trigger an event.
Right. That said, if you have...
I have every truck up in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a cable modem at home?
No, I'm using the providers. I rent the modem and router from them.
Right, he's on non-cable.
Like DSL?
Probably fiber.
Greenlight.
Greenlight. Oh, okay. So Greenlight, I can tell you, as a fiber provider, their upload rate is almost always the same as the download rate. So I was trying to probe for if you had a cable modem with asynchronous, asymmetric levels of upload and download speed. It could be that your upload speed isn't that fast, and having all of those cameras uploading all at the same time.
Yeah, but in this
might
case,
saturate.
That's not the issue. So I'm thinking if the if your data are going through the Chicago hub, they would be very slow right now.
Oh, I see. I'm going to go back to Wi-Fi. I bet that your Wi-Fi. So. All of those things. So Wi-Fi is just not that fast, right? Like you think it's fast, but it's half the speed that you think it is.
Yeah.
I bet if you switch channels.
Stay on the line. We got to take a break. Stay on the line. We'll get back to you in a couple of minutes. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Chris Horn, me, Nick Francesco, Rick from Pittsford, New York, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Chris Horn, and it turns out I'm not getting that Bloody Mary.
But not yet, you're not. And we have Rick from Pittsford on the line. Rick. Chris has, like a blind squirrel, stumbled on an acorn accidentally that may help you.
All right.
Well, with that lead in, allow me to disappoint. So, most Internet of Things, Wi-Fi devices, what have you, they use the 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi, which... compared to the rest of modern Wi-Fi technology, is pretty slow.
But cheap,
yes. Dave will correct me here. The lower the frequency, the more penetration you have through walls.
Yep.
So it's better for things that
are
outdoors.
More concentrated.
Right. It's better for things that are outdoors or, in this case, mounted on your door. So here's my guess. My guess is that... your signal strength to those devices maybe isn't that great. That's one thing.
Okay.
Another thing is, do you have neighbors that have Wi-Fi?
Oh, everybody.
Everybody has Wi-Fi, right? Like, that's where we live. I wonder if you're all on the same or very close channels for that 2.4 gigahertz range. And if you switched your Wi-Fi to be on a different channel, what would happen then?
Well, I'm renting the router and modem from
the green light people.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that I'm able to get in and do that.
I am sure that it's possible. And I'm sure that if you go to Greenlight, they've got a web-based chat, and they will help you do that.
Okay.
And I don't want to steer you wrong and say, oh, yeah, just go and, you know,
right.
just start guessing passwords. I don't want to do that to you.
So you did not add your own downstream router. You are using only their devices.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay, Then you use the chat, as Chris said. Use the chat, and I'm sure that I have never had a problem with their tech support.
No. They are beyond very nice. I mean, they're super.
They have no reason to be nice to me, and they've been nice each time. Clearly, they don't listen to this show.
They clearly do not. Okay?
Yeah, yes, definitely. I'll try that, and thank you very much.
Last thing. If you and anybody, if you want to be able to test this, they have laptop and phone Wi-Fi analyzer programs you can use to say, hey, on my Wi-Fi right now, who else is using this channel? Almost like a... I'm not going to say... Yeah, like it's sort of a sniffer kind of thing, but I think just Wi-Fi analyzer is probably the term I would use if I was looking for a free app to do this once or twice. And it's pretty fascinating. Yep.
Everybody's in the same two bands.
Yep. Nick's showing me cool analyzer pictures right now. And if you can just if you can get Greenlight or whomever your provider is to help you switch channels, switching to one that's unoccupied is the nuts.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Best of luck. If you don't have perfect results, call back.
There are, right. Sorry, go ahead.
Paying extra for, increasing the speed from 5 to 1,000, would that help any?
It is unlikely if your problem is Wi-Fi throttling because of congestion.
Yeah.
Right.
So solve that first.
Right. If you tell Greenlight, because this is their hardware, if you tell them, here's what I'm trying to do, here's what I'm experiencing, they might have a knob or a dial they can adjust.
Yeah. What you should do to prepare is to download a Wi-Fi analyzer to your phone and run it, and it will tell you where people are. So, for example, I'm looking at this one. There's got to be a dozen different systems running, and they're all running on either 6 or 11.
Channel. The channel 6 or channel 11.
There are 14 channels, and they're all using either 6 or 11, because that's the standard. And I'm sure that yours is doing the same. So if nobody's on 2, tell them to move you to 2. But you need to tell them that 2 is free.
Right.
Okay.
Right? So you download the Wi-Fi analyzer on your phone and run it, and that'll give you a little graph, a real simple graph.
Of your
area. And you just see where it's empty.
And here's what I might expect to hear from Greenlight or anybody's support. They'll say, by default, all these Wi-Fi access points, especially at 2.4 gigahertz, are set to auto. And they will automatically switch channels to move away from congestion. Except, good news or bad news, none of them work that well.
they're designed to do that, except they don't.
Right. You're better off just finding an empty spot, claiming that, and then have everybody avoid you.
Yep. As I was saying to Chris, I think during the break, so you didn't hear it, when I moved to Greenlight, I put up my own wireless router, but I had that issue. It had been running okay, and now I'm on Greenlight, and it's not better. That can't be right. So I did download the Wi-Fi analyzer and realized, just like I see here, and just like I'm sure is with you, everybody was on 6 or 11. So I moved somewhere else. I own that spectrum. I own that channel. And I've got wonderful throughput now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's something to try.
Go for it.
All right. Good luck to you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bye-bye. Yeah, the Wi-Fi analyzer is available for every...
There's
phone and
a
desktop operating system. Again, if you get it through the official store for your OS, whether that's the Apple Store or the Google Play Store or Microsoft Store or whatever store, then you're better off
that spyware
than finding some random something on the internet. So do it that way is my suggestion. I wanted to talk about 1.1.1.1.
Okay.
So when we talk about using the internet, we were talking about privacy.
Yes.
And security.
Yep.
Nowadays, lots of people use VPNs incorrectly because they don't understand what VPNs don't do, but that's a separate issue. The issue that people are trying to do is to prevent people from knowing where they're going on the internet and what they're doing.
Okay.
Okay. The way things stand now, when you go to a website like soundbites.org, your computer doesn't know where soundbites.org is. So it goes to one of the domain name servers.
Saying, where's Main Street?
Right. It doesn't know where it is, so it goes to a domain name server and says, hey, where's soundbites.org? And the system will say, oh, it's 129.21.3.17. That's actually a system at RIT. Don't go there. The point is that it gives you back a number. And that means that the DNS server knows you're going to that website.
It's like the difference between your latitude and longitude versus some generic 123 Main Street address.
Now, for most people, that's not a problem ever. But for certain people, like journalists in foreign countries, that's a bad thing to have someone else know where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So DNS normally is in the clear. The domain name service is in the clear. Hey, where is soundbites.org? Oh, it's here. That's in the clear. You can run DNS over HTTPS, so it's pre-encrypted. Also, DOT.
There's a bunch
TLS,
of
TLS.
There's a bunch of DNS security things.
The thing is, instead of using your own systems DNS servers, you can, in many routers, you can say, oh, use 1.1.1.1 instead, and 1.1.1.2.
Okay.
Those are at Cloudflare, and they are already encrypted.
Right. So if I'm using Chris's internet service,
right,
and Chris's Wi-Fi, cable modem, everything, and by default, I'm getting Chris's DNS servers as part of that. What are you saying I should change?
You go into the settings, and there is a DNS. The DNS server will have an address, and it's set to something right now.
Right.
Or it just says default.
Right.
But you can say, instead of default, use these custom ones, and you put in 1.1.1.1.
I see. So custom 1.1.1.2. That's the ticket.
Okay. Right. The problem with that, and I'm telling you what you should have done, which you should not have done up until now, because apparently sometime last year, the encryption on 1.1.1.1 was broken.
Mm. Okay.
It's fixed now.
Yeah.
So it's okay to go there. But, if your purpose is to hide not just who you are and what you're doing, but where you're also going on the internet, then you want to use a service like 1.1.1.1 and 1.1.1.2.
That's Cloudflare.
Yeah,
and
that's
Cloudflare. And you would pick Cloudflare because I know Google also has their own
8.8.8.8 and 8.8.4.4.
And 9.9.9.9.
And 9.9.9.9.9. Yes.
I think that secondary Cloudflare is 1.0.0.1.
I think it might be. I don't remember.
As it turns out, I remember a lot of this would rather forget.
But so the idea is that a lot of people go to VPNs because they think it's safer. It is not. It depends entirely on how well you trust the VPN, because any traffic sent through the VPN must be decrypted by the VPN in order to send it to the other end. So they can read all your traffic. If they are keeping logs, those logs can be searched. Some of them are available for free on the internet.
So
many more of them are available for a cost.
I'm going to take no joy in almost ruining your suggestion.
Sure.
In telling you that if you're using a current version of Microsoft Edge or a current version of Google Chrome.
Or Firefox.
I didn't realize Firefox does the same thing.
If you're about to say what I think you're about to say.
They have this thing that is presented as a security feature. And I think it's actually DNS security. And what they have is the browser, I'll be specific, Edge, will use Microsoft's DNS and ignore all of your system settings.
Oh yeah, no, this is different.
And,
okay, go ahead.
So they'll ignore your system settings, and Edge itself will use Microsoft servers. And it's presented in layers of security features, and if you disable it incompletely, it'll try and turn itself back on. It's pretty insidious. And as a privacy concern, it is one of the things that I think I've used this idiom already today, but drives me right up the wall, because it is only there for them to track what you're doing.
Yes, exactly right. On the other hand, both Google Chrome and Firefox,
yeah,
in their settings, will let you set the DNS server in there.
Mm.
So
nice.
They're both under security.
Oh, that's
I think
good.
They're both called DNS provider.
Yeah, I like that.
And you can go in. You can't. I don't. Oh, yeah, I'm there now. Can I set it to custom? No. I can use Google's public or a couple of others. And one is Cloudflare 1.1.1.1.
Yeah.
Now, in both of those cases, that only works for web browsing. So it doesn't work for your mail if you get that through like Thunderbird.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, if you're using some other program to do net stuff. But if most of what you do is browsing or through the web, or let's say you have a Chromebook and everything you do is through the browser, you can set it up so that it always goes through 1.1.1.1.
Right. So all right, what if I'm listening right now and I'm not doing that. That is a lot of configuration changey stuff, and I'm pretty sure I'm just going to break stuff. What is an alternative for me?
The alternative is to just leave it the way it is. And okay, so you have several alternatives. First alternative is leave it the way it is, which means that, again, this all depends on how concerned you are about your privacy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've freaked me out, right?
Okay,
I'm
good.
Really concerned right now.
Good. So if you leave it the way it is, then your internet service provider and dang near anybody else can figure out where you're going and what you're doing. Now, anything that is HTTPS, right, secured, the actual traffic between you and them is encrypted.
The content.
Right.
Yeah.
But they will know where you are going
right.
and when.
Right.
Right. So again, you don't care. You're going to google.com.
I'm going to amazon.com.
You don't care.
Yeah.
But if you're a person in an abusive relationship and you're looking up help.
Yeah.
You don't want your partner to ever be able to even as remote as it might be.
Yeah.
To be able to find that information out that you are doing that, right? And there are a lot. I mean, you can think up your own reasons. There are hundreds or thousands of them. So if that is a concern for you, then you would want to, for example, go into the settings of Chrome, search for DNS provider, and under select DNS provider, change it from the OS default to Cloudflare 1.1.1.1.
Right, which is less intrusive than trying to change your operating system.
Right.
Now, you could change it in the operating system if you wanted to.
Right, but I'm not going to go there with you. I'm just going to tell you that if you are using Firefox or Chrome, you can search for, in the settings, search for DNS. I think they both say provider. It's certainly DNS.
Yep.
Domain name services.
Yep.
Search for DNS, and you will find this DNS provider, and you can also set it to secure DNS. So if you're using, and that, I believe, is the default.
Secure DNS is You're just sending out your DNS to Google or to Microsoft or
right,
something.
Right.
That's what they
you
call
want both.
It.
You want yeah. both, right? Secure no. DNS and change the provider.
Okay.
Right. That's the best. That's the best. Do both.
That might work in Google. On Edge,
I'm talking about Google and Firefox.
Yeah. On Edge, that winds up pulling you back to Microsoft.
Yeah. I don't want to do that.
I was also trying to feed you towards uBlock Origin. Because the way a lot of the ad blocker stuff works is they take all of those bad host names, content things out there, and they make the DNS, they make basically the content turn into nothing by breaking DNS very carefully. And I bet that we have at least a few listeners that are running a pie hole.
Oh yeah,
as their DNS provider at home right now, because that's a dedicated hobbyist level of stuff. But that's you running your own DNS server that does your own specific set of filtering in the same way that an ad blocker would. But now you're doing it for everything on your network, and that to me is really super cool.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
I have a friend who's got a Linode, and he runs his own VPN.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he doesn't record anything. There's no log.
Yeah.
I don't know that it gets any more secure yeah. than that.
Well, like if you had just, day-to-day privacy concerns about stuff you're doing, you could also jump to a private window and the level of tracking everything that happens on your local computer is pretty close to zero.
But it doesn't stop the DNS from knowing where you went.
It does, right, the big brother part of like how am I being tracked on the internet doesn't
really
change.
Whereas going to 1.1.1.1 also protects you there.
And I think Dave is going to suggest that DuckDuckGo has privacy focus.
Built right in. I mean, I've...
Yeah, but I don't know if it automatically uses a
DNS. It won't change
DNS.
I just care that, when I'm doing any searching... That, I don't wind up getting inundated with all those GD ads.
No, and I understand that, but that's not our concern here. Our concern is, if you are in an abusive
being
relationship.
Tracked, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
Oh, no, that's
it's
totally
an entirely
separate.
Different story.
Yeah.
Or if you're a
but I think
you're
one thing helps the other.
One
thing helps the other.
Yeah. They do help each other.
Oh, yeah,
so
definitely.
The more of that you have, the better off you are. The other thing is, if you're going through one of those protected DNSs, it's a little harder, now, although not much, I don't even know if I should mention this, it's a little harder to fingerprint your system.
Sure.
A little bit harder. We've talked about this before. Every computer has an absolutely unique fingerprint. They can tell who you are exactly. Not your name, but this machine has done these 50 things before.
Yeah.
And so, there's no way around that.
Well, don't get me. Are you trying to get me worked up right now? Because there are.
Well, there are not. Again, now we're into the weeds.
Yes,
we're way into the weeds without a weed whacker.
Right. I'm just going to ramble incoherently even more.
More?
Hey.
That's okay. I can't wait to see that. But first, we're gonna talk to Don from Pittsford, New York. What's up, Don?
Hello. Simple question. I hope I'm reaching the peak capacity of my spinning C drive on my computer, Windows 10, and I have an option here which says compress this disk to save disk space. If I do that, am I giving up anything, or will there be a utility that will take longer to use, et cetera?
Don, I would love to say that it's a good option. But in my experience, using a compressed file system is awful.
Mm-hmm.
Even though...
It slows everything down at the very least.
Yeah, like the worst part of it is that you can pick... a compression algorithm that is built into the chip so that it's as fast can be, just like security. But it's never free, right? It always comes at the cost of latency and all the things you're doing. And, the worst news is that Windows 10 is just about run its race. So you might want to think about the computer after this one and just letting this one languish and stay full.
Well, and the other thing is make sure your temp directory is empty.
Yeah. Windows 10 has like a cleanup.
Yeah, there's a cleanup
feature.
I think
feature if you right-click on your C drive, you can get the disk cleanup.
Yep, and that would help significantly. Backing up a bunch of files you don't need anymore and putting them on a couple of different media that are not inside your computer would be a good idea. So those kind of things would be better than compression.
I use CCleaner quite often to clean up, take care of temporary files, clear the...
What you're going to want to do is move some files off.
Yeah.
You know, we've all got... Look, I get it, but we've all got files that we haven't looked at in 20 years.
Or you got programs you don't use unless it's, you know, every 6 months you use that one time. And that might be the way to go. It's just to uninstall stuff.
Is having 10% a safe 10% of free space on a C drive?
How big is the drive?
Adequate.
How big is the drive?
Couple of terabytes.
Couple of terabytes, then yeah, you're kind of okay.
Yeah.
Kind of okay, but you know, I prefer 20%.
Right, that's 100, 200 gigs. You got plenty of space.
Right. If it's a multi-terabyte drive, then you're still good.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. It's more like 600 gigabytes.
No, then you've only got about 60 gig left. So get some stuff off it.
Okay, 60 is not enough. Then,
no, it really isn't. You want at least 120 gig if you're going to do any serious upgrading of Windows. And we got to go. All right, that's it. We're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I really want to thank Chris Horn. I have to thank Chris Horn.
I paid him to say that.
He paid me not enough to say that. I'm Nick Francesco. I want to thank everybody who called in. I'm sorry we had some phone problems there in the beginning. But we're done for another week. We will see you in 166 hours. Be good to one another, would you, for heaven's sake?